Welcome to Creative Conversations. I'm Roger Humphrey. In this episode, I'm pleased to welcome the award-winning cellist Inbal Megiddo. We talk about her new recording of the 6 Bach cello suites, which is a delight, by the way, Beethoven, her latest project featuring unknown music of persecuted composers, and a whole lot more. She spoke to me via Zoom from her home in New Zealand. Hey, before we begin, please hit the like, follow, and subscribe buttons down there, and all the other buttons that you happen to see. It's an easy thing to do. It really, really does help the channel a lot. Also, leave a comment. Let me know what you think. Your opinion is important to me. And we are welcoming to the show the very talented and award-winning cellist, Inbal Megiddo or Megiddo?
Megiddo.
Megiddo. You know, I could screw up John Smith, I swear. Inbal Megiddo, thank you so much for that. I have to say, number one, I love the cello. I'm a guitar guy, and the overall voicings, the ranges are similar. So my ears just kind of fall into that range comfortably. I really love the sound. Listening to you play was just a real treat as I was getting ready to do this.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're based in New Zealand. Are you still at the New
am.
Zealand School of Music? Are you still teaching there?
Yes, yeah. I'm a professor here at the university and the New Zealand School of Music. So, Wellington, New Zealand.
Okay, how cool is
Yeah.
that? So now is that at the university? So you're teaching undergraduate, graduate, everything?
Everything, yeah. We have undergraduate all the way up to doctoral students.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a big program.
Wow, what fun.
Yeah.
What fun.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, yeah, it's great. I really love it.
Well, it's a great atmosphere. I taught college for a lot of years, and I miss
Oh.
it. I miss the atmosphere, miss the campus life. So.
Yeah. A lot of energy and yeah, the students keep you on your toes for sure.
And occasionally make your eyes roll. Ugh.
Yeah. Oh
So,
yeah. they're good kids. Yeah.
yeah, sure. I'm
Yeah.
sure of that. So you have a new CD out, new album out, and it's the Bach cello suites. And I was listening. I actually had the occasion to listen to almost all of it yesterday, I think it was.
Oh, wow.
And I have to say, first off, I'm an absolute huge fan of that of the music itself. The cello suites I absolutely love. I've played several of the dance movements. I haven't played any of these suites in their entirety, but I've
Yeah.
played and I just love it. But that's a daunting task. I mean,
Cool.
there are 6 movements in each of the 6 suites. I mean,
Yeah.
that's a whole lot of notes.
I was gonna say it's a daunting listen. You say it's about 2.5 hours of music, so
Yeah,
really
that's
well done.
okay. I love it.
And yeah, you're right. It's definitely a daunting task. I mean, first of all, there's just the fact that there is so much of it.
Yeah.
But then there's also the fact that it's the Bach suites, right? And it's basically the Bible of the cello, right? Where the Everest, climbing the Everest of the cello to actually record all 6.
Did I just freeze up on you?
You did.
Okay, well,
You
there I am. I
oh,
think
there
I'm
you
back
are.
now. Okay.
Yes,
Oh,
yes.
we'll blame it on the international gay line.
Exactly. So I'm coming to you from the future. So yeah, just whatever I say has a bit of extra wisdom, I think. So
Fair enough. So anyway, I'm sorry, we were saying about the
yeah.
cello suites.
So I was saying it's a daunting task to record them. This is basically I would say the Bible of the cello, or they say actually recording them is the like the mount climbing the Mount Everest of cello.
Sure.
Like I said, there's actually the physical fact that it's a lot of music, and it's solo, so there's no real breaks anywhere when you're performing them. And then there's just the whole weight of the fact that this is Bach, and trying to say put your own stamp on the Bach suites is a well, yeah, like I said, you have to actually believe in something, believe in what you're doing, to do that.
So
Yeah.
did you do some research on this? I mean, you must have researched some of it.
I think, well, it, there's, I mean, really performing them is a lifetime of research. I think I
Wow.
started, I you know, and that's the thing. Like, you know, the interpretation actually changes every time you play it. You see something different in it, and you bring out something different. So no performance really is ever is going to be the same. Which is kind of my philosophy. I mean, it's about the suites and actually really about anything with any musical interpretation. But yeah, so I mean, I've been living with the suites for a long time, I think. I started playing when I was two, in general. So I've been playing for a while, but you know, and I think they even have, you know, in one of the first Suzuki books, I think there's a little piece of from one of the Bach suites as well. So, you know, I started quite young, and I think the first suite I started actually learning when I was 5 or 6 years old. And yeah, and like as I said, it's something that you just live with. I've performed them. You know, I play them almost every day. And like I said, every time you find something new and interesting. In terms of historical research, yes, you know, of course I've read about you know, about Bach, about the style and all sorts of things like that. And I think again, it kind of goes along with the way that I view musical interpretation in general. I think one of the most magnificent things about the suites is that we actually don't have Bach's original manuscript. That's I think every time you approach a piece of music, there's always this challenge of trying to figure out what the composer actually intended when he was writing or she was writing. And that's actually an important point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, but then also figuring out what it is that you're trying to say with it. I studied cello with the great Aldo Parisot. He was my mentor for many years at Yale. And one of the things that he would always say is that when you get a piece from a composer, your job is not to recreate it, but to create something even more magnificent. And so, and like I said, so that's one of the things that are fantastic about the suites. We actually don't have the manuscripts. And so there's so much that is open for interpretation. And everything we do, you know, we have to figure it out actually for ourselves. We have to make our own edition every time we approach them.
I used to tell my students, particularly my college majors, that the trick is that when you're playing a piece of music, like we'll use the Bach as an example, what I should hear is a marriage between your personality and his. There should be this third voice that emerges from the middle of all of that chaos, and that changes. I mean, your viewpoint changes day to day.
Exactly. You're never the same person. Every day, every time you play anything, I mean, your circumstances are different. The way the weather is different, and how that affects you is different. So yeah, so no performance is going to be the same twice, which that is a huge challenge for recording because
Oh, yeah, sure.
you know, whatever I said on that day might not be the same thing that I would say on a different day. And it's so it's like I said, it's a challenge for me as the artist to be like, yes, this is fine, this is what I want to say. It's also a challenge for the producer, I think, because you know, basically you have to record it in full takes because otherwise it doesn't actually make sense, the way that you build up certain things or what you're bringing out. If you take a take from one time and another take from a different time and try to merge them together, it doesn't really make sense. It's like taking two different stories and trying to mash them together.
I recorded a lot of different etudes for my students, just as reference recordings, nothing to release. And there were times I went in partially prepared, and so I would play a little of this, I'd play part of it, and then I'd play another part of it, and record all of these things and kind of Frankenstein them together. And the results were dreadful every time, 100%, never failed. It was like, I don't even want my students to hear me play like this. This is terrible.
That's well, so yeah, that's exactly what happens with the suites. And so yeah, it was I basically had to go in being able to take a full take you know, of the movements, even sometimes even of a whole suite. I would just actually go and do the whole thing. And yeah, I actually did record the popper etudes. I don't know if you know what those, I think if we call the Bach the Bible of the cello, I think the popper etudes, I think some people call them, maybe it'll be the purgatory, or I don't know. It's
Yeah, that's not, I
so
don't know those pieces, but go ahead.
yeah, it's the call it's there's 40 etudes, and it's called the High School of Cello Playing, high school as in the German translation, which is actually university, I think. But
Okay.
yeah, they're extremely challenging. Every cellist will know them, and for better or worse. And I did actually record all 40 with some tutorials. But that's an entirely different thing. Those are that's a marathon.
Oh
I
yeah.
don't know. Yeah.
It's like combat pay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I've been
Yeah.
listening to the Bach cello suites for geez, over 50 years. Somebody gifted me the full box set of Casals in LP form,
Right.
way back when I still had hair, and so I fell in love with them then. I've never played any of the entire suites all the way through. I've heard so many different versions on violin and guitar and certainly on cello and different people. One of the things that I was pleasantly surprised by was your interpretations are absolutely delightful and unique in some ways. And I
Thanks.
really like them. I mean, by no means is that any kind of a criticism. I absolutely love the way you play these things.
I take that as a, if you say that it's unique and it's not a copy of anything else, then for me that's actually a compliment. So yeah, I don't want to sound like anybody else. That's obviously Casals is incredible, and there are a lot of incredible interpretations.
Sure.
And it's like what I said, it's really you can't go and say that one interpretation is wrong and a different another one is right. You can have some that resonate more with you, but we really there is so much freedom in them to do to say what you want to say, and to find your own voice through them. I think.
I remember reading a publication from the 19th century, and the this critic was complaining about the some performer. They said that the playing sounded like a sewing machine, which is like ticka 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 ticka. Yeah. And with Bach particularly, it's very easy to fall into that. To turn that
Yeah.
metronome on, set it on, and then just sort of set it and forget it without actually going past that. And of course you didn't. It was wonderful. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I do really believe in the freedom that there is in there, and that really the limit is actually of what you do with it is limited just by your imagination.
Right.
I mean, I think there are, we have a prelude which has a lot of freedom. We do have dance movements that have some sort of character that
Sure.
you and you have to have some sort of pulse that kind of unifies all of it.
Right.
So there is this framework, but within that, it's really limitless.
Right. You've got
So
an
and
Alman
that,
is still an Alman, and a Quran is still a Quran, but
yes,
within that, there still has to be, some room
yeah,
for a little elbow room in there for the artist.
yes, exactly.
So,
Yeah, definitely.
in your history with these pieces, I understand that day by day things change a little bit and your attitude changes a little bit. But what about the
Right.
overall arc from the time you were a small child till now? How has your approach, has there been larger changes that you've noticed? Or, I mean, every change is going to be gradual, but as you
Yeah.
look backwards, go, oh, wow, I never would have thought of this 20 years ago or something like that.
It's so there's a few elements here. I think as I was growing up with them, obviously your technique and things like that, if you, there's things sometimes things that you would struggle with that that are no longer a struggle, especially as you learn, and as you memorize all of them, again, it actually goes into a different part of your brain and becomes something you don't actually think about. It's you just kind of create. So that's I think that's one element of the development and progress with them. And again, who knows what it'll be like in 20 years. I might do something completely different.
Sure.
But
Well, I look at Glenn Gould and his, the Goldberg Variations. That was his very
yeah.
first and his very last albums. He recorded them twice,
Yeah.
so.
Yeah, so I mean, there is something different. I think I talk a little bit actually about how that I view the suites kind of like a life cycle as well. And I know there's a lot of interpretations also about how this is, it's a religious, and also everybody sees all sorts of things in them. Who knows what Bach really actually intended? We can't converse with him. This is actually another thing that I think Janusz Starker, he said, that one of the joys of actually going to heaven will be that he'll get to meet Bach and finally ask him what he really wanted in the suite. And for me, actually, that would be like a door shutting rather than
Oh,
I don't want to
yeah.
find out. I don't want to find out exactly what he meant, because right now I have some freedom to actually do what it means for me. And if that resonates with people as well, I mean, and what they hear in them when I perform is also something different. Oh, I think I lost my train of thought though.
Or just talk about the overall arc of your.
So I sort of see that we have that first suite, which is, the G major, and there's this innocence of youth, or naivete, even it's like childhood. And then you go into the second, the D minor, and you have it's kind of like the teenage years where you are very inwards looking and full of angst and moody, even. And then you go into the third suite, which opens with that great C major scale. It's like the knight on the horse. It's like when you're in your early 20s and you can take on the world and you can really do anything. And then you go to the fourth suite, and that's kind of like middle age or family life, right? When you're super busy, you're constantly running after kids and all sorts of things like that. But every once in a while you stop and you're like, oh, look at what I have. And this is, you can still see how, all the beauty that there is in them. And then the fifth suite, we get to old age. And it's a bit you're looking back, and seeing all everything that you've had in your life. And I mean, there's a sense of space, and a sense it's everything kind of slows down a little bit. But there's complexity, but there's and it's deep. I think there's again, it's beauty tinged with some sorrow as well. But I think, like I said, it's and then you get to the sixth suite, and the D major, and it's just glorious. And I think it's kind of like beyond life at that point, and you're in the heavens and just and up with the stars, and it just reaches, it's just so it's huge. I mean, it's really, really amazing and magnificent once you get to that. And so I can sort of see that kind of arc, and I think also as I traverse through different stages of life, the different ones resonate more, and like I said, I find new things in them. I think I might have said that the fourth suite is busy before. Now I know it's busy but also happy. So it's yeah, like I said, I think we see different things every time we get there.
I was honored to have Edward Klorman on as a guest a few weeks ago, well, a couple of months ago now, and he just wrote a very detailed book on the suites. It's called
Oh,
Bach the Six Cello Suites. I mean, it's that's the title,
yeah.
you know. And
Yeah, yeah.
he really did a deep dive on these things. It's like, you know. And so it's wonderful. I mean, it's just
Yeah.
and I made the comment, I said, 100 years ago, these were kind of obscure pieces. Nobody was playing the things,
Right.
you know,
Yeah.
and now they've just kind of, you know, and I think the same is true with the Goldberg variations. I mean, people just sort of ignored them for the longest time, you know, and so Bach's
Right.
catalog is so deep, you almost don't miss them. I mean, until you hear them and then you go, oh yeah, where's that stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's yeah. I mean, they weren't performed in their entirety. They were just little bits and pieces, and really with Casals, actually, they became part of our repertoire.
So it's wonderful stuff. Well, I hope everybody will take the time. I'm going to, and I'll say this again later, but there will be a link to your website down there in the description, and so people can find it, and we'll know, you know, how to purchase it and such.
Oh,
And
thanks.
boy, I'll tell you what, if you love Bach, they got to listen to this. I mean, this is absolutely delightful. So, but
Oh,
that's not the only thing
thank
you
you.
got out there. I was very happy to see your Beethoven album. Wow, what a
Yeah.
delight that was to come across that.
Oh, thanks.
And
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I have Beethoven currently out. There's the Beethoven sonatas. And also I have a recording of the Debussy sonata and trio together with the trio that I play with. And then I have a couple of upcoming projects as well. They're going to be coming
Oh, talk
out.
to me. What do you got going on?
So the next CD that's going to come out, everything's ready, so it should be coming out relatively soon, is an album of it's called Forbidden Voices, and it's an album of composers that were silenced during the Holocaust.
Oh.
Which it's there's some phenomenal music, and some that actually has never been heard before. Some of these composers
How did you happen to
never
do
did.
your research on that? Where'd those pieces come from?
Well, this is something that I've looking at minority and suppressed composers is something that is quite important to me. And so I've actually been doing this for quite a while, and have really found some amazing music. There's a concert series that I organize here as well with that theme. And so now, so I've started. I put in a I've made the recording, and I also perform these pieces a lot, really to try to bring them out of obscurity to, and rather than not something that you just pull out once a year on a commemoration concert or something like that, but really to try to bring them into the repertoire.
Mainstream stuff.
So that people will actually perform them and give these people a voice that was lost. And so on that recording, there are some world premieres as well, and. So I mean, I'm gonna plug it. It's not out yet, but keep an eye out for it
Yeah,
on
have you
my
come back on the
website.
show when it comes out, and
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
we'll chat it up some more then, really get after it.
that'd
So,
be. And
and
then one more,
okay.
which will be after that, and it's actually following on the same theme. I have a recording of works by so those. Robert Schumann, but also Clara Wieck Schumann, his wife.
Oh.
So giving again, looking at a woman composer who didn't have the recognition that she deserved while she was living as a
Sure.
composer. She was a concert pianist and did quite a lot of work there. But the so on that I have some works that were written originally for cello by her, or actually for violin and transcribed. But I also transcribed some pieces from piano to cello. So there'll be some premieres on there, and I think they work very, very well on a cello. So again, something that will be people will be able to take from that and perform. In addition, I have the Robert Schumann concerto and
Ooh.
a few of his other pieces. So
Beautiful.
combination. Yeah, that
Be
should be good as
beautiful.
well.
Now, is that with a pianist as well, or are you working with a larger group?
So the pieces for there's pieces for cello and piano, both for Clara's and Robert's, and those I
Okay.
play with a pianist here who's also the pianist in the trio, Jian Lu. And the concerto is with Orchestra Wellington, which is the orchestra, well, as the name suggests, here in Wellington. And collaborating with Mark today, who is a great collaborator as well.
So, you recorded the Bach stuff in New Zealand. Are the new recordings going to be recorded in New Zealand? They have to be, I would think.
Yeah, they are. And I actually didn't even get a chance to say. I mean, I think so. I recorded the Bach suites here here in Wellington, in this beautiful little chapel that overlooks
Ah.
Wellington Harbour. So it's actually really inspirational. It's really the perfect place to record suites. I mean, a chapel has the acoustics to record them, and I think the view gives your soul what it needs to actually also get there. It's actually these lovely. It's a studio. It's been converted into a studio by Peter Jackson.
Oh, okay.
So again, you have a little bit of the Lord of the Rings, the grandeur of that as well to go with the recording.
So how's is it, do you find it different recording in New Zealand, in terms of just atmosphere and the way you are affected as an artist, is that different than it is recording, say, in the States or in Europe or something?
I think there's something about the Kiwi spirit, maybe that we, we're all the way down here, and I think there's possibility. I think is something that, and obviously it's gore. I don't know if you've ever been or you've seen,
I have
possibly
not. I
seen,
obviously have seen pictures yet, but
but it's a really, really beautiful country. There is a lot of music going on in this country as well. Considering the population size, it's pretty surprising. And there's a lot of support for contemporary music. And so a lot of really interesting things happening down here.
had a former colleague that was born and raised in Christchurch and had done concerts in that lovely church that unfortunately burned a few years ago, and he was devastated. He says, "I've sat in that place," and so, but yeah, and he has. I did a few performances with him, and it was just a treat. It just has this marvelous spirit, and a little bit of he had to be careful. He was a little bit full of malarkey. I kind of had to be careful. So, and I didn't know if I should just let him get away with it or if I should step up and let him know that I am too,
What did he choose?
but he's a wonderful violinist, a wonderful, wonderful violinist, and we played some beautiful stuff together. So that was always fun. I like that a lot. So now you have perform let me say that again in English. You've performed it around the world. Are you still touring? Are you still performing? Well, you're still performing,
I'm
yes.
actually I definitely am. I'm actually going to be in New York City next or in 2 weeks. So coming out there. But yeah, I still continue to come. Pre-COVID, I was traveling really a lot. And I was in Europe several times a year, and in the U.S. In North America several times a year. And then we had crazy lockdown. New Zealand was completely shut for at
Well,
least two
as we
years.
all
It
were,
was.
right?
Except we had the odd ability to. We were an island and actually managed to keep COVID out. So we were living in 2019 for about 3 years, because
That's not a
we
bad thing.
were exactly.
But
Except nobody could leave or come in, but we had concerts with with 2,000 people in the audience
oh,
here, and I
wow.
think we were the only place and probably the first place to actually have performances after that. After the big lockdowns. And then so it was a bit slow opening up, and now we're picking back up and traveling again. So like I said, I'll be in the US in November. I'm gonna be there again in April of next year, and also in Europe. And in between all of that, also teaching here. And like I said, there's a lot going on. There's a lot of concerts series happening here in New Zealand and also in Australia. So we really do keep busy down here.
That's a good thing. That's
Yes.
a
Yes.
good
Always
thing.
better than the alternative.
So I guess one last question I kind of want to sneak in is when, kind of circling back to the recordings, and I'll throw them all in there, and including the new ones if you'd like. Have you, as you played these things, has anything that has come out of this or anything you recorded surprised you? I mean, in your own playing, like, oh, gee, I don't remember doing, or something just sort of spontaneously popped up.
Oh, that's a really good question.
Because it happens in performance, live performance sometimes.
Yes, I think I definitely discovered. Because I was experimenting while I was recording them, and I mean, I think it's while I play them. I mean, I think you, like I said, there is no manuscript. There is nothing that tells us what the dynamics should be. There's
Right.
nothing really that tells us what the tempos should be. There is and then in the whole thing about slurs and where what notes go together, we have copies of the manuscript, and each one of them is slightly different, and including even sometimes the notes themselves.
Right.
And so when I when I re when I whenever I play them, I actually try to do I try to see what happens if I do something else, and then you discover something, some really different things. I think it's the saddest thing is if I play them the same It's and you're afraid to actually find out and look for something new. I think that's we always have to try to find something new. They're not sacred. They're not something that's distant. They really are alive, and they grow with you, and with whoever that you are. So I would try different dynamics, different bowings, different articulations sometimes, and then through that, sometimes different, completely different lines that I didn't even realize were there. Suddenly, there's a light that shines on something completely different.
I was
And
I
so the different, sorry, go ahead.
not to say I was playing through. I've been kind of messing around with the for the last couple of weeks. I've been messing around with the Saraband from the second, and it's a dreary little piece, but messing around this morning a little bit with it, and I ended up changing some fingerings, and I went, okay, now I want to sink my teeth into it. Just changing the fingerings, which. And I'm sure that a lot of people don't understand it that on the cello as well as the guitar, you can play the same note in a couple of different locations. And by doing that, it changes the character of the note. It doesn't change the pitch, but it changes the character of the note. And I would tell people, it's like think of going from saxophone to viola or something. You know what I mean? It's just and that's what I did. I went, oh, there it is.
And I think, like, that's actually something that you have to do. You have to do it as a musician. You always have to experiment and try and even go all the way to the extreme and see, and then you can see if that's if that's too extreme. But maybe you discovered something different in the middle. And it's really with every interpretation, everything is really an improvisation. We can't repeat the same thing. And classical music is improvisation, and I think I don't know that everybody sees it that way, but it really is. Even if we don't make up the notes necessarily, sometimes we do, and then we try to pretend we knew what we're doing. But yeah, there's and knowing that there isn't really anything that is there's no wrong answer. Even if you if there's something that you wouldn't necessarily do it that way again, it was still part of the process of figuring out what you're trying to find.
Exactly. So, well, Inbal, believe it or not, we are about out of time. And so I'm going to thank you so much for doing this. And I have to talk to you before you come back in April, and we'll talk about your new recording, and we'll just catch up and shoot the breeze, and have a good time, I hope. But
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
this was a good time for me. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Roger.
Talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
I'd like to thank Inbal for taking the time to come on the show. If you would like to know more about her or get her albums, you can find a link to her website in the descriptions below. I'd like to thank you too for taking the time to listen. If you'd like to stay in touch with my guests, just go to www.rogerhumphrey.com and subscribe to my weekly blog. I promise, no spam, ever. If you enjoy these podcasts, please share your favorite episodes with your friends and introduce them to Creative Conversations with Roger Humphrey.